Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink Podcast. Today's January 27th. It's Thursday. It is, well, here we've got the winter storm going on. What is it? Winter storm? Oh, I don't remember the name, but.
It's in the 50s right now, so it's a little chilly in Florida. 52 degrees, rainy.
It's supposed to be 29 degrees on Saturday night going into Sunday.
Wow, 29. So. Could it actually rain / snow? That'd be crazy.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. There's been rain this whole week, but who knows?
That'd be nuts.
So it's been an interesting January so far, that's for sure. But today kind of touches on, last time we talked about interest rates rising and how that'll probably, continue, and it has. There's been already a few more small increases to interest rate.
They sent out I saw an email this morning that says, rates are increasing, but it's nothing like it was in the 80s or the 90s. And it shows the rates of what it was like 12, 15, 18%, and then like 9 to 5% all the way into, the late 90s. And it's like, okay, yep. I hope it never, ever, ever gets back to that. But
yeah, those articles are funny too, because they never tell you what the median house price was back then.
Never.
Because they don't go, oh, well, look at the 20% interest rate people were paying back then. It's like, yeah, but I could get an 8,000 square foot home for $600,000.
Or I could get a 2-bedroom, 1-bath by the beach for $55,000.
Yeah, they don't go, oh, well, nowadays, if you wanted a 2-bed, 1-bath condo by the beach, that's going to run you about $450,000 at 20%.
No view, though.
No, yeah, you get a view of the other complex. The
parking lot.
So, no, it's ridiculous, because those articles never go into, oh, well, the interest rate's a lot lower today. It's like, but the house price is astronomically higher.
Correct.
Because a normal, there are people buying single family, their first, starter homes for $80,000 in California. And right now you can't get a starter home in Central Florida for less than like $250,000.
Yeah.
So there's no comparison. Interest rates are interest rates, but when the price is so high, there's no comparison that goes into that. It's ridiculous.
But I'm sure here everybody understands how interest rates rise, and then it pushes a certain portion of people out of the market because,
And then prices go down. Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah. But what we're actually going to touch on today is with the lack of inventory and the interest rates rising, there's going to be a pinnacle moment, we're hoping, here in the near future. But as of right now, what's happening is these buyers are actually getting very desperate again, and they're waiving a lot of these inspections, contingencies.
Just contingencies in a contract.
In general.
If you don't know what those are, contingencies are written into a contract, a normal sales agreement, that says if something isn't up to the standards that you would like, whether it's the inspection, whether it's, financial, like your loan going through, an appraisal, a title contingency, a home sale contingency. There's a lot of things, right, that are written into a normal sales agreement. So what that means is if none of those, if there's one in particular, like let's say you get an inspection and it's not the, it comes back that there's too much roof damage and there's going to need a whole roof, replaced, and there's, water damage from the roof, and there's interior water damage because of it, or, there's a foundation problem, or, huge, huge things wrong with the property. You might want to say, okay, well, I got the inspection report back. I'm actually going to pull out of the contract, because you have due diligence time.
Yes.
And after the inspection report comes back, you have a few days to say, well, I looked over the report and this is too far gone for me. I'm actually going to pull out, get my, my deposit back, and I'm not going to, go further. I can't. This is too bad for me.
Yeah.
That's what a normal contingency situation is. And the same goes for, appraisal is if they can't appraise a property. So let's say you offer $350,000, an appraisal contingency would say, if an appraiser came by and only appraised it at $300,000, you would say, okay, well, I'll pay $300,000. If not, I'm going to end the contract. Whereas if you waive your appraisal contingency, that means even if it appraised for $300,000 and you offered $350,000, you have to come up with the $50,000 difference.
Correct.
And you're okay with that. And then there's like a financial contingency, which is a contingency upon you getting a loan for the property. So if you can't get a loan for the property, then you would say, hey, I can't get this contract fulfilled because I can't get a loan. You know, my loan paperwork it fell through. So I have to pull out of the contract, you know. And so if you waive that, you're saying, okay, even if I can't get a loan, I can figure out how to get the money, which is insane. And then a home sale contingency is where somebody is selling their current home and purchasing a new one. And in the contract, it will write, you know, I plan on purchasing this property, but it's a contingent upon my home selling, which happens pretty, you know, not rarely. That's a pretty somewhat common thing to happen because most people don't have the option of selling their house, chilling out, and then buying another property. So it's a pretty normal occurrence. And then the last one is a title contingency, which I would never tell anybody ever. If there is one thing, I would say never, ever, ever, ever one time waive your title contingency. We're going to go over all these and what we think, but a title contingency is basically saying, for anybody that doesn't know what title does, you know, which is a joke everybody always has in real estate, title makes sure that the owner of the house is the owner of the house and they have title, right? Now, a title search is what a title company does to make sure that the current owner of the property is the legitimate owner of the property. Now, if you say you are waiving your title contingency, that means if it came back and the owner of the property did not own the property, you would still have to be contracted.
Correct.
To purchase the property. You've signed on the dotted line. I would never, if you're looking for something, that's one of the contingencies that the only reason you would, someone would want you to waive your title contingency is if they were like a scammer. They were trying to, because title scamming is a thing.
Yeah. It does happen quite often because people will sell houses that they don't actually own and they'll go through the process and actually
get you to pay the money. And then you'll go, okay, I own this property now. And then you'll go to get in and then the people will be like, what do you mean we live here? This is our house.
No, they know the property is vacant. So they pretend and then the people go through the transaction at the end. It's like a guy who doesn't even live in the state.
Yeah. And then you'll never hear from him again.
Well, now you're trespassing too on a property that, you know,
you don't own,
actually yours.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So never, ever, don't ever waive that and always get a you always need to get, whether it's a real estate attorney or a title company, you always need to get a title search done.
Yeah.
You always need to make sure that.
Don't rely on Zillow or Realtor.com or Redfin.
Someone's word always get a title search done. I mean,
title is basically part of the whole transaction from start to finish because they're mostly the ones who hold the escrow deposit. And then they constantly are looking at your file to make sure that at the end, when you sign with them for the purchase of the property, there aren't any hiccups. So, I mean, it's a necessity in the business directly. A lot of people, you know, I would say most people use them. So don't think that just because somebody asks or requests a contingency with no title that you better have some red flags pop up right away.
If somebody says that, you better, and you're paying probably in cash too, trust me, because that's what they want.
Yeah.
But okay, so we're gonna run through this. So what this study went through is the home shoppers in 2021. This is ranging from April to December of 2021.
Okay.
Okay. And what this study went through is the amount of people, the amount of buyers who waived appraisal and inspection contract contingencies.
Okay.
Okay. So the peak was in June. 29% of people, 29% of buyers, excuse me, waived their appraisal contingency. And 25% of buyers waived their inspection contingency.
Okay, so one out of four basically
waived their inspection. And one out of basically three and a half waived their appraisal contingency.
There's a very in my opinion, waiving an inspection is very costly, unless there's there's a few certain aspects. If the house is relatively new, you know, in the years of, I would say, 2017, 2018, 2019, around there, and you don't see any physical damage yourself, I still would recommend an inspection on everything, but you definitely could get away with possibly waiving inspection. Something older than 5 years, I would automatically just do it, because you really never know what's behind those walls, and 5 years is a long time for something to be sitting back there. Anything like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, oh man, if they made my buyers waive an inspection, I would immediately assume there's something wrong with that property.
No, I mean, that's always my take, is anytime somebody, because here's the thing, right? A lot of times they go, oh, I'll waive all these things because I'll make it as easy as possible on the seller, right? So that they'll give me the
time of
day. The time of day, and they'll take my offer and they'll do this and they'll do that and blah, blah, blah. I don't care what the price, I just want the property, that sort of thing. That's great and all when you're, chomping at the bits buyer and you're like, I want this house. I want a house, right? I don't care what it's like on the inside. It's like, that's, all well and good when you don't own it yet, right? But the property that you're looking to buy, I've had times where, I was just talking to someone the other day and they didn't get an inspection done on their property that they bought. They were telling me a story about how there's an apartment complex down the road from them, and the apartment complex got torn down and turned into a canteen, right? So they tore the whole thing down and then they turned it into a restaurant. But, they tear down and then they start from new, that sort of thing. It took months and months and months to get to this point, right? Now, the apartment complex was abandoned for a long time, and inside the apartment complex were a lot of rats, a lot of rats.
Okay.
Now, those rats, once the building was being demolished, all left. Now, this neighborhood was right next to the abandoned apartment buildings, right? Now, where did the rats go? Well, they didn't just vanish. So the rats instead went to the houses that had food for them that were in the neighborhood right next door to this abandoned apartment complex. Now, this person bought their house and they said, oh, the house looks great, new community. I don't need to worry about anything, blah, 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 blah. Huge rat infestation. They were coming out at night. They weren't like, oh, they're in the attic or they're in the walls or they're outside eating garbage or something like that.
Yeah.
They were inside the house in the kitchen eating their food, right?
Wow.
Tons. Not like, oh, there's one or two and they'll put a little trap out and no. Tens, hundreds of rats, right? Because they just, there were huge, huge amounts of them in these abandoned apartments. And basically what he was telling me was, he would go, he had a hunting dog and he would just like let his hunting dog out at midnight and just try and clear the place out, and they couldn't do anything about these rats.
That's disgusting.
So then, they eventually had to fumigate the place and blah, blah, blah. But pretty much some of these things you should probably, I know from a pretty good idea that a pest inspection would probably find the traces of rats in a house or something like that. I know they would. That's their job. But having that beforehand, you could fumigate the place before you live there. Right, because I don't know if you know this, but this is getting into the nitty gritty. When you fumigate a house that has pests inside like that aren't like bugs, the place stinks.
Yeah,
for 2 weeks because yep. They're in the attic and the walls and everywhere dying. So, I'm just I'm just letting you in on a little tidbit of why an inspection is good. So, pest inspections, normal home inspections. Irrigation inspections. There's a lot of inspections you can do on a property to make sure that it's up and ready to live in. And anytime somebody tells me that I don't need an inspection on a property makes me want to get an inspection two times more.
I think of it like this. I think of it like if you're a first-time home buyer, if you're a Gen X, Gen Z, millennial, whatever, and you're like gung-ho about buying a house and you want to make your offer the strongest and you go these specific routes, which is waiving contingencies on appraisal and inspection and yada, yada, yada. And then later down the line, you get the purchase of the property and you have all of these issues, it's going to leave a really, really, really bad taste in your mouth. You're not going to have an enjoyable homeowner, you know, experience. You're going to start hating being a homeowner because if you have all of these issues, it's like buying a used car. You never really know how beat up that car has been. If that car is 10 years old, you don't know if somebody rode that car for 9 years straight like it was on Daytona 500. You know, you really don't, but you're going to want to get something done on the car to make sure the car is not going to break apart 2 seconds later after you're buying it. Same thing with a house. You're going to have all these people are trying to jump through these hoops for the sellers to try and make their offers look more appealing. And we understand that you want to win. You know, it's a winning mentality. We want to win. The agents want to win. The brokers want to win. Everybody wants to win because then we get paid. But at the same time, I would rather have a client who finds the right seller who's willing to let them do all of these things in order for the closing to go smoothly, and then that person knows what they're walking into versus me getting a phone call, which I've gotten from a new buyer and saying, hey, this house right here that I purchased from you, you were my agent and the seller, there is so much water damage up in the attic that we actually have to reinstall new beams. And it's going to cost $25,000. I'm going to sue them because obviously they knew that. Now, since you waived inspection, that's not their problem. Unfortunately, if you did do an inspection and you saw, hey, there's some extreme water damage to all of these panels and you know, all of these low-bearing walls, you're going to need to get these replaced before I move in, then that's on them to do that. Or that's on them to say, hey, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to knock off $30,000 from the asking price so that you can do it later. And you know what you're walking yourself into. The only experience that you want to have on a home buying experience is a positive because everything else is stressful. Am I right, Zach?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's plenty of ways to go about it, but I would never... personally, right? If I was going to go buy a house, I would never buy a property where somebody said all offers have to have a no inspection contingency, appraisal contingency, or anything like that.
Well, so a lot of these offers on the bottom of the agent marks, they say this property is sold as is.
Yeah.
So that immediately tells the buyer that they're not necessarily going to fix anything. But, okay, this is where the buyers then get confused is if the house is sold as is, but the house is not going to be livable for the new buyer, they have to fix it still, or they have to give you money to fix it.
They don't have to do anything, but you have to advocate for yourself.
Okay.
It's not a matter of they have to do. Selling it as is.
No. But for example, Zach, if I went to go and I went to go purchase a home for $300,000, okay, and they're selling it as is, and I get an inspection done, and the inspection comes back with mold, okay? Now, since the seller knows that there's mold, because now the inspection has been done, mm-hmm. If they don't want to renegotiate for a mold remedy, okay, or get the mold remedy done, then they have to, legally now, on the next purchase, if I back out, they have to tell them that there's mold, correct?
Yes, but that doesn't mean they have to fix it. When you're selling something as is...
I understand, but now Yes. But now there is a black mark
on
their report card because they say, Great. Hey, now we know there's mold. And best part about this, though, Zach, is if the seller then doesn't acknowledge that there's mold, tries to sell the property, the next people who get...
Yeah, sue them because they knew.
Sue the pants off of them because they didn't then say in the seller's SRPD that there was mold, that they knew about it. And let's say this person got sick.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. But what I'm saying, for the first home buyer who goes through and it comes back with mold and they want to purchase a property really bad and it's as is, it doesn't matter. If they don't want to... You have two choices.
I've still negotiated with people who are like,
I understand.
As is, yeah. I'm not touching the property. And it's like, well, okay, unfortunately, the property is not even near standards of living because it's been a rental and you've trashed it for freaking 6 years.
I get it. I'm just saying from the standpoint of how a buyer can maneuver this situation.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a few options, and that is you can either say, hey, do mold remediation. B, give me money and I'll do mold remediation. C, here's the inspection report back. I don't like that there's a ton of mold. I'm pulling my contract out.
Correct.
Or D, which is nothing. Yeah. So you have four choices when it comes down to this. You can't say, well, fix it. They don't have to if they don't want to.
No, you don't have to demand they fix it.
No, but what I'm saying is they don't have to if they don't want to. They can pull out of the contract just as easily as you can
yeah.
when this sort of thing happens. So when you're like, okay, well, you have to fix it now. They don't have to.
No.
If there's stark problems with the property and you're like, I'm not going to purchase it unless you fix this, they don't have to.
Craig, I agree. Yeah. I understand. But now there is, you have to understand, especially in a buy. So this is the issue that I'm having right now with especially buyers. Okay. They have shifted so much power to the sellers right now. It is... First off, the sellers are in the complete driving seat. The buyers are so far in the back of the bus right now that they can't even tell them to slow down because the sellers are like, oh, I'm taking offers until Saturday. I have multiple offers, best and final, Saturday at 3:00. I'm done. Don't expect me to look at another offer, even though legally you have to show all offers until it goes into contingency, but that's another point. So they've given so much power to these sellers. So now the sellers can now dictate, well, you know, I'm not going to allow an inspection. I'm not going to allow pet inspection. I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to allow that. I'm basically selling the property as you get what you get, right? And that never really, in my mind, works out for anybody in the situation other than the person walking away from the property.
Yes, and that's why they're doing it. I mean, correct. You have to realize when you're the buyer's agent, you're advocating for them. Now, in these situations, sellers right now, they don't care.
No.
They're sitting there. They want top dollar for a, you know, I'm going to be candid here. Some people have a flaming bag of dog crap, and they're saying, I want, hey, this, you see that? It's on fire. You ain't going to get that everywhere. $600,000 for this flaming bag of shit.
Yep.
It's like, no, I don't want that. And they're like, no tire kickers. Nobody, if you're going to come view my bag, come by. And all offers by Sunday, price to sell. And then there's the problem, though, is anybody who's thinking logically is going, I'm not going to buy that for $600,000. That is a mess. That is a bag of cockroaches. No, I'm good. But the problem is there's 15 other, you know, potential buyers who are going, that looks like a pretty nice bag of dog shit.
Well, I could set that place honestly on fire and then I can rebuild because it's the location that I want. Yeah. And I have the capital to be able to build something that's actually new and, you know, shiny. But these other people don't. So I'm going to buy this flaming piece of crap and I'm going to then bury it so far deep under the ground that no one can ever know it existed, and I'm going to rebuild something that, you know, is going to be spectacular.
That's 10% maybe. Okay. But for the 90%, they're just buying bags.
Oh, yeah. No.
They're not.
And then there's people who are just putting up with the bags because they see that's the only option they have, which really it's not. You know, it really comes down to the lack of, obviously, inventory, but I don't want to be mean to people, but just the lack of knowledge.
It's pretty much just, it's a perfect storm. We've talked about it time and time again.
Yeah.
It's sellers want high prices. There's low inventory so they can ask for them. Buyers are voracious to buy right now.
It has been the rental market for two years, right?
Yeah. Yes, the rental market has shot up a ridiculous amount, which is kicking them pretty much to the curb, going, well, you can either pay me for the same apartment you've been renting, you know, 30 or 40% more than you were paying me 2 years ago, which is an insane difference. And you go, well, I don't want to pay that. Well, then go buy a house. But the problem is there's a you know, for every one seller, there's like a, you know, I don't know what the actual number is, but it seems like there's 10 million buyers all chomping at the bits for one house.
So for example, Zach, a house went up for sale yesterday. Uh-huh. I had a client today, a friend of, you know, ours who was moving here, and they asked to see the property, and they asked to see the property on Saturday. Uh-huh. Okay, so the property went up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I contacted the agent today, mm-hmm. and they asked to see it like 9 or 10 o'clock on Saturday. The property is occupied, and yeah. so the agent did request that I give ample time.
Yeah.
This morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, I get off a phone call with the agent. She says, I quote, "I'm not taking, well, I'm going to be honest, we already have multiple offers. I'm going to be taking offers until 12 o'clock this afternoon." This afternoon.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Or not Sunday, excuse me, Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in contingency by tonight.
Nice.
So already the offers that she's received within the first day, okay, are up to standards. They're asking $400,000, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can see the price.
Yeah.
It does have a pool.
Yeah.
It is close to a lake. Uh-huh. You know, the neighborhood does look, you know, nice. But within the first day, what I'm assuming is she probably received 3, 5, 6, 7, I don't even know how many offers. And now she's basically done. And now the buyers who do want to see something that they aren't available until the weekend have completely lost out, right? Can't see it. It's gone.
That's what I mean. Everything that goes up, there's, you know, you have 5, 10 people who are like, I need it. I don't even have to see it. Just put an offer and I want to buy it. I don't care what it looks like.
It's in the area, the radius that I feel comfortable. So, and it's in that my price range that I feel comfortable. Just purchase it.
Just give me that house. Just how much do they want? 475. I'll give them 500.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, you wanted 400.
And I'll waive contingencies.
I'll waive everything. Inspection, appraisal, home sale, financial, title. All of them. I don't care. I just need the house. And
which is crazy.
It's crazy. People are doing it. And it's like, it's beyond. Right.
I feel bad for, like, you know, honestly, I'm going to be in that boat in the near future when I want to purchase a home. Cause, unless, you know, great Aunt Elda, who we don't even actually know exists, pass away and leaves me a huge inheritance, you know, like back in the day, all those crazy stories about how a long lost relative, you know, passed away and left a estate that was worth millions. Yeah. I'm going to be paying through a conventional loan most likely. Just like everybody else and their moms, or, you know, you're in the same boat, first-time home buyer, conventional loan most likely, and we're going to be either outbid by cash or we're going to be out, you know, maneuvered by people who are willing to let everything go. And it's unless the inventory on the market just starts to spike, and we have a lot of people who would, I have a feeling that with the 7 or 8% of increased equity that people have received from the 2021 purchases, I would not be surprised if people then feel a little bit more remorse and say, oh, you know what? Maybe we should get out of this. I'll make a cool 40K, even though they'll have to pay the government because they didn't live in the property for more than 2 years. Thank you, government. They might start deciding that they want to flip their properties. And I have a feeling that some people who purchased in 2020 and 2021 might get a little itchy and hairy here in 2022.
No, I think it's going to be quite the tumultuous market, to be honest, because what's going to happen is rates increase. The buyers that are, you know, cooling off we've already seen it now. There's everything I see is for every one article that is hot market, there's two or three more that are like, maybe not. Maybe that article's wrong. Maybe the interest rates are rising too quickly. Some people feel uncomfortable. You know, maybe the inventory is way too low. You know, I was reading one just earlier today that was like, well, as we see it, there's probably going to be quite the increase in property for the spring selling season because people have kind of cooled off from the buying process right now. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think that with time, most are going to realize that they shouldn't just be buying
to buy.
They shouldn't just be buying because they can be, you know, basically whipped into a frenzy and buy to buy. Right. So it's kind of one of those things. We'll see how this plays out. It's going to be interesting to see. I think that a lot of the time, it's, It's situations like these play out in a way that the only people that really suffer are the ones who have already suffered, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a, it's never a good thing because you're like, oh, well, you know, it's like, well, either people who bought their properties now and property values go down, become upside down in the properties they paid way too much for, right? They were buyers suffering, so they bought a property because they wanted one, and then here they are, right? They bought one because they really, 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 really wanted one, and then they paid way over ask price, and then it just so happens that they paid way too much, and now the property values have sunk, and they're upside down in their loan, and it's just never a good thing. So I think that's going to end us for today.
Yep.
So
we appreciate you guys stopping by. And if you have any questions or concerns, you can always email us admin@homeuplink.com. You can log on to our website, homeuplink.com, and see all of the available open houses. We are Central Florida, Jacksonville now in the near future, and also Miami. So we are going to be all of Florida, open houses, turn-by-turn directions, direct access to the listing agent, and everything. So take a look at our app, our social media feeds, listening to the podcast, please. And if you have any questions, again, let us know.
Yeah, thanks for coming by and listening. Yet again.